one's good. We have a minig that during Chodesh Elul we recite the Perek in Tehillim V'Dovid Hashem Morei V'Ishi, and the minig is based on the passage in the Medrash that V'Dovid Hashem Ori B'Rosh Hashanah V'Ishi B'Yom HaKippurim. She'Ishi B'Yom HaKippurim we understand because if one gets a Mechilas HaMoynes, that is a Yeshua. What do you mean Ori B'Rosh Hashanah? In what sense is Rosh Hashanah Ori? So I think that perhaps the Pasha Pshat is the following, that the Gemara says, we say in the davening, Hayom Haras Olam, today is the birthday of the world, so we follow that, in the davening at least, we follow the opinion that Petishrei Nivra Olam. The Gemara has a Machlokes HaTanaim, whether the world was created on Nisan or Tishrei. So at least as far as the davening is concerned, the Gemara says we follow that opinion, Petishrei Nivra Olam. Which day of Tishrei Nivra Olam? So we assume that Adam Rishon was created on the sixth day of Sheshes Mei Bereishis, and the sixth day was Rosh Hashanah. In other words, the beginning of the Sheshes Mei Bereishis was 5 days earlier, but everything before Adam Rishon was prehistoric because there was nobody around. So as far as world history is concerned, we say on Ech B'Tishrei, when Adam Rishon was created, that's when history of mankind begins. And according to the Medrash, the same day Adam Rishon was created, HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed him not to eat. Ha'itzav Hashem Elokim al Adam, he shouldn't eat from the Eitz Hadas. And the Gemara understands not only was he told Ha'itzav not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, he was given all of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, all the Mitzvahs. And the Gemara in Bav Metzia comments on the Pasuk in Baruch HaNafshi, Toshes Chersha Lihi Loila Persim Os Kalchai Sayyar. So the Gemara has a comment that is a description. This world is like Laila. In what sense is it like Laila? So the Mesillas Yeshayim explains in the Hakdamah to the Sefer that Balaila you can make a lot of mistakes. You don't see, it's dark outside. And in this world you can make a lot of mistakes. Just like at night you can bump into a lamppost and think that it's a person, or bump into a person, think that it's a lamppost, you can make a mistake, ligriusa and litivusa, in either direction. So b'olam hazeh, there's a lot of cheshkas laila. People think that people do averis, they think they're doing mitzvahs. And people do mitzvahs, they think that they're doing averis. It's very unclear. What is a mitzvah? What is an avera? So that's why the Rabbanu Shalom gave us the Torah. That's why we say v'hoer enenim sarasecha. The Liman HaTorah enlightens us. And the cheshkas olam hazeh, that we can't figure out right from wrong. So the Torah enlightens us. So that's, I think, what it means. Hashem oiri b'Rosh Hashanah. And the original Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was v'itzav al Hashem alakim ala Adam. Rabbanu Shalom gave Adam a rishon, the mitzvahs. He told him how to guide his life. So that gave him a horah, that gave an illumination. So that's why every year on Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara learns out from Sukkim, according to Rashi, it seems that it's a real din min haTorah. According to others, it's only a din min haRabbanan. You have to recite Malchis, Lechonis, and Shofaris, because these three brachas that we add on to the Shmoneh Esrei spell out the three Ikari Hu Emunah. The Rambam lists off 13 Ikari Emunah. Rabbi Yosef Alba writes that basically there are three, Malchus, Zechonis, and Shofaris, are the three Ikari Emunah. He combines together a few of the Ikari of the Rambam, and they all fall under the category of Malchus, and a few others fall under the category of Zechonis, and then Shofaris is the third one. So what is Shofaris all about? So Shofaris, we'll explain all of them. Shofaris is, we quote the Psukim, Shofaris begins, Atonik Leisa Balan Kodach Alam Kodshech Ledabri Imam, Mirshamayim Hishmatim Kolecha, etc. That the Tkiya Shofar is a similar Dabar that's going to be a Gilu Shechina. That's what we're talking about, Shofaris. That we believe that there is such a thing as Nevuah, and there can be a Gilu Shechina. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can communicate with human beings. That's what we believe in Nevuah, that it's possible to have Nevuah. And we believe, Rav Soloveitchik once explained, that the Iker of Tefillah is included in the Iker of Nevuah, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu can communicate with us, we can communicate with him. We can daven, he can listen, he can give Nevuah. We don't have Nevi'im today, but we used to have Nevi'im. In the future, we're going to have Nevi'im. So that's the Iker of Shofar. We believe that there can be, and there was, and there will be communication between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and mankind. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself, whatever that means. He revealed himself to Adam HaRishon, and he gave him all of the mitzvahs, and he told him that he's the Balabas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a kel mistater. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is invisible. And so if he's not going to reveal himself, we're not going to know anything about him. So he had to reveal himself to Adam HaRishon. He gave him a nevuah. And he told him, I'm the Balabas over here. We say the Pasuk has an expression describing Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kone Shamayim Ba'aretz. So Rashi writes that two ways to translate the Pasuk. Kone Shamayim Ba'aretz mean he established, he created the heavens and the earth. Or Kone means that he acquired ownership of the heavens and the earth. So Rav Soloveitchik was always fond of saying over his grandfather's pshat. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik has a comment on the Rambam. There's a Rambam in Hilchas Trumas where the Rambam quotes a passage from the Yerushalmi. The din is that if you have a field that's hefker and all the pears that grow are hefker, so you're not chayv in Trumas Amaisis. That's a Mishnah. So the Yerushalmi says, Hazareas de hefker, if I walk into a field which is hefker and I plant pears and it grows, Hazareas de hefker, chayv in Trumas Amaisis. You are mechuyev to be machish Trumas Amaisis. So the commentaries on the Yerushalmi discuss why. Isn't it against the Mishnah? Mishnah says that Hefker is Patam. So the Pnei Moshe, one of the standard commentaries on the side of the Yerushalmi, says because when you plant Paris in the Sodesh al Hefker, you koine the Hefker. It belongs to you, so it's no longer Hefker. And as it says in Perakhes Kusabatim, that if you plant Paris in the field, that constitutes a Chazok. So it's a Kinya Chazok. So Rav Chaim quotes that in his Sefer, and he says, the Prima Godim, Reb Chaim doesn't quote this, but the Prima Godim and the Psicha Kalelos writes that the word Chazok appears in Halacha in six different contexts, and each place means something different. The word Chazok doesn't always mean the same thing. So there's such a thing as a king of Chazok. Karkas nicknames Bekesef Obishtar Obechazok. So what constitutes a Chazok? So the Mishnah says, Ketzeb Chazok and Noal Godur Aparatz. You put up a fence, you knock down a fence, something like that. Then there's a din of cheskes habatim shal d'shanim. If I live in someone else's farm, if I live in a farm for 3 years and I claim it's mine, I claim that I bought it from the previous owner. Or he gave it to me, and he can prove that he's the marakama. He has evidence that it used to belong to him. And I have no evidence that it's mine, but I can prove that I was living in the house or using the karka, planting the karka for 3 years, and he was never moichet. He never complained against the fact that I was there. So that's called cheskes habatim shel d'shanim. So cheskes, for the purpose of cheskes habatim, it has to be a chazok sheishim ataina. I have to be able to claim atem achartele atem nesatele b'matan. If you have a chazok without taina, so the chazok sheishim ataina is nishken chazok. So the cheskes habatim shel d'shanim, that's not a kinyan chazoke. You don't acquire ownership of the farm. That's a raya. The fact that I was there for 3 years, eating the pears normally, or living in the house normally, and the marakama was never moicha, so that's a raya that my taina is true, that I bought it. But it's not the same thing. Achilas pears doesn't constitute a kinyan chazoke to acquire ownership on the field. That's Rav Chaim tainus. He doesn't agree with this premotion. Then you have the other kinds of chazokas. You have a chazok al chavishen moitzim tachas yad adam shen mesulkan, and that chazok einan pareh tos mana. Chazok over there means aruba d'leisa kaman. What's the probability? Totally different word. Then you have chazok as status quo. Chazok in the meikara. The woman is mecheskes seishin sish. The woman is mecheskes penuyin. Then you have a totally different kind of chazok. Sharamuat katlanis 3 times. Meisa baran machmas mila. That's a different kind of chazok. 6 different kinds of chazok. So Chaim doesn't like that pshat from the Pnei Moshe. So what is the beer in the Yerushalmi that the Rambam quotes as Zeres Dehefker is Chayv and Shumas and Maisis? So Chaim interpreted that the Yerushalmi is telling us the Sada remains Hefker. You planted in a field, the Sada remains Hefker. But because you're the one who created the Shvach, You planted the peres, and the peres grow because of the fact that you planted. So the peres belong to you. The ksada remains after, but the peres are yours. So that's the chiddush of the Yerushalmi that the Rambam is quoting, that the din that hefker is part of the Trumas HaMaisis depends on the peres, doesn't depend on the field. Despite the fact that the field was still, it was hefker before and it's still hefker now, you didn't acquire ownership of the field, but the peres are yours. So the ptur of hefker is only if the peres are hefker. So then Rav Soloveitchik extrapolated from that's the pshat and Rashi. Kadosh Baruch Hu was Kodesh Shamayim V'Aretz. He created the heavens and the earth. He created everything. So whoever creates shvach acquires ownership of that shvach. So the main Hakadosh Baruch Hu is Kodesh Shamayim V'Aretz. He's the owner. He's the balabas. So Hakadosh Baruch Hu had to reveal himself to Adam Rishon. Adam Rishon will never be able to figure out. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is a kel mistater. He's hiding. You can't see him. He has no body. So he reveals himself to Adam Rishon. We believe in Shofar. We believe there is a possibility of communication between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and human beings. Some of the Goetia philosophers said that philosophically and logically it's impossible. How can HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how can the infinite God communicate with a finite human being? Akasha HaMaisa, but it says in Tanakh that there was such a thing, there would be such a thing. There is such a thing as communication. That's what we call Nevuah. And the reverse also, we can communicate with the Ribbono Shel Olam. We offer tefillos. The Koach HaTefillos also, the same Ikar and Emunah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to the Marishan. That's Malchias. He told him on Rosh Hashanah, I'm the Melech HaOlam, and every year, another Marishan was Mitkabel Malchus HaOlam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vaitzav Hashem Malkim Alo Adam, he reveals himself to the Marishan, and he enlightens him. Eri B'Rosh Hashanah, he doesn't tell him the whole Torah. He tells him all the mitzvahs that a ben noach has to know. So every year in Rosh Hashanah, we are mekabel malchuso again. Rav Soloveitchik used to say over that some mefarshim say, why is there a minig? We call the minig tashlach, based on the pasuk with tashlach. So the some call chatosim, we throw averis into the river. But others say it's not that we're throwing averis into the river. The Gemara says in Hoyrius and increases when you anoint the new king, you appoint the king, you do the anointing of the king with Shem and Amishra next to a river and next to a spring, just like the river is flowing, so the kingdom should continue to go. So we go to the river to be Mamlach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a day of Malchus, every year Mekabel Malchus. And that's one of the ten kavanas in a lot of Sidurim. They quote from the Siddur, from Rav Sadi Gwen, I think, that there are ten different kavanas that you can have when they blow shofar. So one of the kavanas is, whenever they used to appoint a new king, they used to blow trumpets. So we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah to proclaim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech. We have other kavanas also. We have other kavanas as well. There's a Ramban on Rosh Hashanah. Ramban on the bottom of the Rif and the Melchamas. The Rif quotes from Rav Haigoin that truth of the matter, the Gemara says, it says in the way we usually assume, you have to blow shofar tkiyah, true tkiyah, three times on Rosh Hashanah, min haTorah, min haRabbanan, we blow much more. So what's the definition of a trua? Yom trua yelachem, what's the definition? So the Targum says, Yom Yabava. What does the word Yabava means? To cry. And the Gemara quotes the Pasuk from Sisera, that Emma the Sisera was crying. Her son didn't come back from the war, so she was crying and turned out that he was killed. Killed him. So the Gemara says that the Trua has to sound like a crying sound. Which sound of crying? So there are three different opinions. Posh Pshat the Gemara. It's a machlokes hatanaim. So one Tana says it's what we call trua. One Tana says trua is what we call shvarim. And the third Tana says it's what we call shvarim trua. So because there are three different shitas, so we want to satisfy all the three different opinions. So we blow tkiya trua, tkiya shvarim trua, tkiya three times. We blow tkiya shvarim tkiya three times. Then we blow tkiya trua tkiya three times. To satisfy all the three different opinions. But the Rif quotes the minig v'shtei yeshivas in the days of the Gaonim, and they claim that that was always a minig from the days of Yeshua Benon, from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, from the days of the Nevi. That's what they claim. That after Malchias, they blow you're supposed to blow tkiyas al seder abrachas after malchus, after zechanas, after shayfas. So in the days of the Goyim, the meaning in Masa Machasya and in Pumbedisa was that they would blow Tashrat after Malchias, Tashat after Zechrinus, and Tarat after Shoifus. So the Goyim ask themselves, it doesn't make any sense. If you hold it's supposed to be Tkiyah Shvam Chua Tkiyah, so then Tkiyah Shvam Tkiyah is a mistake. So, Mimam Shach, you're not Yotze. If you blow Tashrat alone after Malchias, and Tkiyah Shvarim Tkiya after Zechrinus, Tkiya Chua, Tkiya after Shofar. So for sure you want Yotze the din of Tkiya Sedevach. So what is it all about? So the Goinim explained, the Rif quotes in the name of the Goinim, we blew all the logical possibilities before Musaf. After Maftir, we blew Tashrat three times, and Tashrat three times, and Tarat three times, and we blew Yotze everything already. So, and the whole din that you're supposed to blow tkiyas al seder abrachas is supposed to be yotze tkiyas then. So we were already yotze before we started to daven musaf. So it's just a zecha ledover. A blowing shofar al seder abrachas is only a zecha ledover. So we don't have to be so makbid about it because we really yotze before. We're not really being yotze the takanas achon or the din deraisa, whatever it is of fulfilling shofar al seder abrachas. So why do matriarch so much? We blow once tashrat after malchias, once Tashat after Zechrinus, once Tarat after Shefras. And then the Rif quotes to the Rav Haigla, and he says no. He explains the meaning of Bishtei Yeshivas differently. He says the Gemara didn't mean to say that it's a Machloike Satan. Simple reading in the Gemara is that it's Machloike Satanoin. Which crying sound is the Chumash referring to? That you have to blow Tkiyah, Trua, Tkiyah. And Trua means Yabava, a crying sound. Is it what we call Shvarim? Is it what we call Trua? Or is it Shvarim Trua? That's a Pashim Shanimar. It's a Machloik Yisatanoi. So Rav Haigon says, no, that's not correct. All three forms are acceptable. But, so why do they introduce that you have to blow Tashrat three times and Tashat three times? Because the Balabatim were fighting with each other. The Balabatim, one community, said about the other, they're not Yotze. Only we were Yotze, because they blew Tashat and we blew Tashrat. They blew Tarat and we blew Tashat, whatever. So that the Balabatim shouldn't think poorly of each other, that they should think we're the only community who was Yotze, the others weren't Yotze, so they want to satisfy everybody. That's how the Rav Haigman says. So the Ramban has a comment in the Mohammed, so he points out that Tkiyas al Seder HaBrachas used to exist on a Tainus Tzibur also. The Mishnah says in Tainus that when they had a Tziras Gishonim, if it's not raining, so the Bezna would be Goyse Tainus, and the Shliach Tzibu would add another six brachas into the Shmona Esrei. Shmona Esrei used to have 18 brachas before they added Vam Hashinim. That's what we call the Shmona Esrei. Then on the Tainus Tzibur they added another six brachas, adds up to 24 brachas. And at the conclusion of each of the six additional brachas on the Tainus Tzibur, they would blow Tkiyah Shofar. So the purpose of the blowing of Shofar on Rosh Hashanah in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz is the same role as blowing shofar on the Tainus Tzibur. That's not for the purpose of being mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's to enhance the tefillah. The tefillah strengthens you. You elevate the level of the tefillah. It's considered as a okah. Tefillah based, sorry, you have to be more serious. So if the Gemara says that, the Gemara says in Bav Mitzvah, Yom Shachar Beis HaMikdash, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so tefillahs are not accepted to the same extent that they used to be accepted. Because the Beis HaMikdash is Kibesa Beis Tfilah Yikari L'Cholam. Beis HaMikdash is the Makom Tfilah. So, Bizman said the Tfilahs are not accepted to the same extent. But the Gemara says, even though Shari Tfilah Ninalu, Shari Dimo is La Ninalu. But if a person davens so seriously that he's brought to tears in the middle of the davening, so that's a higher level of davening. So if you have a Tfilah V'Eis Tzara, Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Adin, that's a Tfilah V'Eis Tzara, so you want to elevate the level of the davening. So we blow shofar that should sound like crying. So all the three, so the Rav Haigon is right, all the three forms are acceptable. Any one of the three forms would be acceptable on the Tainus Tzibur. Because the question begs itself, how could you, according to the simple reading of the Gemara, that there was a machlekes hatanaim, how are you supposed to be yotze trua, tkiya trua tkiya? How could they have forgotten what's the correct sound of trua? Where do they mix it up? Is it trua? Is it shvarim? Is it shvarim trua? So the Ramban says, because on every Tainus Tzibur, when they blew shofar, all three forms were acceptable. And when you daven Chazaras Hashatz and Rosh Hashanah and the Blei Shofar Tkiyas Haseder HaBrachas, all the three forms are acceptable because the role of the Tkiyas Shofar after Malchus Lanei Shofar is to be Mechazek the Tefillah, that it should be called, considered Tefillah Sheishim Ademoitz. But he says there was a Machlokes HaTanaim, the Tkiyas and Rosh Hashanah, that's not Petoras Tkiyas Haseder HaBrachas, the Tkiyas and Rosh Hashanah, for the purpose of being proclaiming, to proclaim HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Melech HaOlam, that's a Machlokes HaTanaim, which is the correct form. But how could they have made a mistake? How they mix up? Said, no, it's not mixing up. Because on the Tanya Sibur, on the Tkiyas and Rosh Hashanah, and the Chazaras HaShatz, all three forms were acceptable. Any form of crying is acceptable. The Gemara says that this idea of Tkiyas HaSeder HaBaruch Hu is only if you're davening B'tzibur. That that person is home, a person is in the hospital, doesn't feel well, can't daven in shul. There's no, even though he knows how to blow shofar, he has a baal tekiah to blow for him. You don't blow tekiahs al seder brachas, only betzibur. It's a machlekes. What does it mean betzibur? Does it mean only during chazaras hashatz, or even when you have tefillah belachas betzibur? So that tesis in Rosh Hashanah and Lama Gimel and Beis, a long tesis. So tesis quotes the Aruch. The Aruch says that they blew shofar in the middle of the tefillah belachas also, because it's also tefillah betzibur. Chazaras HaShatz it's even more Tefillah B'Tzibur. The whole Tzibur off is one Chazaras HaShatz. But Tefillah B'Lachash is also if you davening B'Tzibur, that's Tefillah B'Tzibur. So the Aruch holds you have to blow Shofar both Tefillah B'Lachash and B'Kol Rom when it's B'Tzibur, when it's B'Yochad Yerom. So when a person is B'Yechidus, he doesn't blow out Tkiyas HaSeder HaBrachas. So then the Tkiyas is only for the purpose of being Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's Kataka going to be a Machlokes HaTanaim. Which is the correct form of Trua? Is it Shvarim, or is it Shvarim Trua, or is it Trua? Which is the correct form? But as far as the Tkiyas HaSeder HaBrachas, all the three forms are acceptable. That does make a difference. The different in Yonim of Tkiyah and Rosh Hashanah. One is to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like in the days of Tanakh, like this still, when they appoint a new king, they blow trumpets. So that's a Machlokes HaTanaim, which is the correct form of Trua. But as far as the Tkiyas HaSeder HaBrachas, all the three are acceptable. So the way the Ramban explains, there never was any stira. How come you blow Tashrat after Malchias and Tashrat after Zechrinus and Tarat after Shofar? Each form of Tkiyah contradicts the other one. Ramban says, no, there everybody holds like the Rav Haigoin. As far as Tkiyas HaSeder HaBrachas, everybody holds that all the three forms are acceptable. And on a tiny secret, there never was a Machlokes. All the three forms are acceptable. The only times that it will be a Machlokes HaTanaim is when a Yochid is blowing Shofar, and it's not going to be Al Seder HaBrachas. So it's not for the purpose of enhancing the Tefillah. To enhance the Tefillah, you have to first daven Tefillah B'Tzibur, that enhances the Tefillah, and then you have the Tkiyas Al Seder HaBrachas. If you're davening B'Yechidus, so the Tefillah is not being enhanced anyway. First you have to enhance it by davening Tefillah B'Tzibur. Then on top of that, you blow Shofar as well. So if you have a Yochid who's not going to have Tkiyas Al Seder HaBrachas, he's just blowing for the purpose of being Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it'll be Takamachlekes HaTanaim. Which is the correct form? Is it Shvarim or is it Trua? Is it Shvarim Trua? So that's that was the Minig B'Shtei Yeshivas. Now, no, I don't think anybody, only in Broyers, they blow like that. Minig B'Shtei Yeshivas. The rest of the world no longer does like that. So they're different Menhogim. What do you do? Because everybody was so, the Goyim was so bothered with this Kasha. This Pele, how can you have Tashrat after Malchias, and Tashrat after Zechorias, and Tarat after Shofars? So all over the world they changed the practice. So the Rabbi Natam changed the practice that after each, after Malchias, after Zechorias, after Shofars, you just blow Tashrat once. Why? Because Tashrat has everything. If the correct form is Shvarim Teruah, you did it. If the correct form is Shvarim, so you blew Shvarim. What does it bother you if you blew a Truah also? It's not Ma'akev. And if the correct form should be Truah, in the Tashrat you have the Truah. So you threw in a Shvarim that didn't belong. It doesn't pass on. We don't really hold like that, Rabbi Natan. Because the Gemara says you have to be careful not to have a Hefzik Kol Achad Bin Tayin. If you're going to blow Tkiyah, Shvarim, and Truah doesn't belong, you're going to blow Truah in between the Shvarim and the last Tkiyah. So the simple reading of the Gemara is that you're not Yotze. If you have a Hefzik Kol Achad, you're not Yotze. So Rabbi Natan interpreted that Gemara that says you can have a Hefzik Kol Achad, that only goes L'chatchila. But for the evidence, not Me'akev. Even though you have a Hefzik Kol Achad. So Rabbi Natan didn't want to change the minig too radically. So he only recommended you should blow Tashrat once after Malchus, once after Zechrinus, and once after Shofars. And the Shulchan Aruch quotes that practice of the Rabbein Tam. We don't do that. We don't do that. Our practice is we follow the Shalom. I don't know why it took Shalom. It was in the 1500s. Why did it take so long till they figured that out? We blow Tashrat, Tashrat, Tarat after Malchus. Tashrat, Tashrat, Tarat after Zechrinus. Tashrat, Tashrat, Tarat after Shofars, because you have to blow Tkiah, Truah, Tkiah after each one of the three brachas, Malzahn, and Shofars, and the three different opinions, what's the correct Truah? So you do all the three possibilities after each one. But it's interesting, there is a Nachlekes in the Rishonim, they're starting around the end of Sukkot. When you blow Tashrat, whether you should blow the Shvarim Truah, B'Nishim Achas, or Dapke B'Shtei Nishimas. Some Rishonim says Dapke B'Nishim Achas, some says Dapke B'Shtei Nishimas, and some say it does make a difference. So what do you do? If someone says it has to be Meneshimach, someone says Tein Hashemus. So the Mechaber recommends you should do half and half. So he says, when you blow Tkiyas before Musaf, you should blow Meneshimach Achas. Then when you do Chazar HaSashat, that you should blow the Tein Hashemus. So does it really make a difference? It has to be Davke, the Tkiyas before Musaf should be Davke Meneshimach Achas, and the Chazar HaSashat should be the Shtei Nishimas. Why did he say Dafka like that? He could have said, blow some like this and some like that. So the Vilna Gaon explains why. He says the Mechaber is recommending like that because he's assuming that you're following the Rabbein Tam Shita. That after Malchias and after Zechrinus and after Shofars, you're only going to blow Tashrat. So it poses a problem, you have a Hefzik Kol Acher. So Rabbein Tam holds that Hefzik Kol Acher is only a problem with Hatchila, but the evidence is not Miyakev. But if you're going to blow Shvarim Truah B'Nishim Achas, that's worse. You ruin the Shvarim. It's supposed to be a Shvarim. It's supposed to be a Truah. And B'Nishim Achas, you have another call. That's worse than a Hefzik Kol Acher Ben Tayin. That's the wrong call. So that's why the Mechaber recommended, we don't follow the Rabbein Tam. Nobody today follows the Rabbein Tam on this. That you only blow Tashrat after Malchias, Tashrat after Zechrinus, Tashrat after Shofars. Nobody does that. Because we hold the Hefzik Kol Acher Ben Tayin does pass on even B'Nishim. So you haven't solved your problem. So the way we have the practice that we blow Tashrat Tashrat Tarat after Malchias, the same after Zechrinus, the same after Shofars, so it doesn't really make a difference which set of Tkiyas you're going to do B'Nishim Achas, which one you're going to do B'Shtei Nishimas. Doesn't matter whether the Tkiyas before Musa or the Tkiyas in the middle of Musa. One set should be B'Nishim Achas and one should be B'Shtei Nishimas. But the Mechaber has that recommendation. The Tkiyas and the Chazon Shasat should be done B'Shtei Nishimas. That's it. The Vilna Gaon said that if you're following the Rabbein Tam Shita, that all you're blowing is going to be Tashrat, and you're not worried about Hefzik Kol Acher, it's only Lechatchila, B'Di'evit, it doesn't passel. But this does passel B'Di'evit. If you're going to have a Kol Acher in the same Nishima, so you ruin the Kol that it's supposed to be. So that's why the Mechaber recommends that the Tkiyas on Seder HaBrachas in the middle of Chazon Shasat, that should be B'Shtei Nishimas. Tkiyas before Musaf, that should be B'Nishim Achas. When the Rishonim had this whole discussion of what do you blow after Malchus, after Zechrinus, after Shabbos, so the Beis quotes the whole story, and he quotes in Shulchan Aruch, but then the Shulchan Aruch, he wrote the Beis first, and then he wrote the Shulchan Aruch later. So apparently that's what the Mefarshim write. In between his writing of the Beis Yosef and his writing of the Shulchan Aruch, he came up with a new minig, with a new practice, which he never explained in the Messiah. So no one understands what it's all about. You have this issue, what are you supposed to blow after Malchus, after Zechrinus, after Shofars, knitting in the two yeshivas in the days of the Goyim, and assumedly in the days of the Amoraim, and they assume from the days of the Nevi'im. That's how the Goyim write, all the way from the days of the Nevi'im. They blew Tashrat after Malchus, Tashrat after Zechrinus, and Tarat after Shofars. It doesn't make any sense. The Mechaber writes in the Shulchan Aruch, you should blow Tashrat three times after Malchias, and Tashat three times after Zechrinus, and Tarat three times after Shofars. What is it all about? He didn't solve the problem. He just multiplied the problem by three. What do you gain by blowing Tashrat three times after Malchias? You only have to blow once Tkiyah Truah Tkiyah after Malchias, and once after Zechrinus, once after Shofars. We're not sure what true is. So what does it help? You're going to blow three times Tashrat after. And he doesn't explain it in the Beis Yosef. Apparently, when he wrote the Beis Yosef, he didn't have that meaning yet. Then when he wrote the Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't give the explanation. No one knows all this. No one knows what the Hesber is. Must be Akbi Kabbalah or something. No one knows the Hesber. But that's what Malchus is all about. Adam Arishan was Makabla Kodesh Baruch Hu, Beitzav Hashem Malkim Al Adam. Baruch Shalom revealed himself to Adam Arishan. That's Shoifres. There is such a thing as Gil Shechina. There is such a thing as communication between God and man. It is possible, it was possible, and in the future will be again. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself, and he makes a deal with him. He said, you have to observe the mitzvahs, and I will give you a reward. And if you violate the mitzvahs that I'm giving you, you're going to be punished. That's what Zichronus is all about. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aware of everything that's happening in the world, and he's going to reward the tzaddik, and he's going to punish the rishon. And most of the psukim in Zichronus, we refer to a bris that the Rebbe Shlomo made. Zechates bisi Yaakov, it's Zichronus. So he's mentioning Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to remember the bris with Noach, and the bris with the others, and the bris with Klal Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris with Adam Arishan also. He said, I'm going to give you a schar v'onesh. If you observe the mitzvahs that I give you, I'm going to give you a schar. If you violate, I'm going to give you an onesh. So these are the basic, that's what Rabbi Yosef Falber writes in the Sefer HaYikor. These are the three basic Yikori HaEmuna. All the 13 Yikorim of the Rambam really can boil down to these three. Malchus means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech HaOlam. He's the Balabas. He created the world. He was kind of the whole world. Rav Soloveitchik used to say, the Gemara has a Loshen, Kol Malach HaShevet Osa the Rabbi, Talmud Osa the Rabbi. If you have a Talmud, and this is his Rebbe Muvik, so that the Talmud is Mukhayev to service the Rebbe, just like an Eved is Mukhayev to service the Odom. Why does the Gemara use that Loshen? So he said, just like Hazares, they Hefker, just like Rav Chaim explains, if someone plants in a Sodashal Hefker, so he's not kind of the field remains Hefker, but it's kind of the Paris that will grow. So too, if you create Shvach, you become the owner of the Shvach. So if the Rebbe takes a Talmud and he pours so much Torah and Chochma into the Talmud, he forms a new Torah personality out of him. So the Rebbe is kind of the Talmud, just like an Adon owns the Eved. Because the Adon owns the Eved is Mukhayev to do Melacha for the Adon. So the Rebbe is kind of the Talmud. So that's why Kol Melacha Shevet Osa the Rabbi, Talmud Osa the Rabbi. This was his interpretation of the Gemara. The Rebbe makes the Talmud into a Torah personality. That's what it means, Rabbi Muvak. The Gemara says, what's the definition of Rabbi Muvak? Rav Chachmasa Himeno. So Rav Soloveitchik said, what do you mean Rav Chachmasa? The person knows 1,000 dinim. So 501 dinim he heard from this Rebbe, so that makes him Rabbi Muvak. He didn't think it depends 51% of the Torah knowledge that he has. He thought Rabbi Muvak, Rav Chachmasa Himeno means the one who made him into a Torah personality. So that's like creating Shvach. I take a person who's not so Torah-dick, and I convert him to make him into a Isha Torah. So since the Rebbe created the Shvach, so the Rebbe is kind of the Talmud. So that's why the Kol Malach HaShevet Osa the Rabbi, Talmud Osa the Rabbi. So we review all of these Ikari Hamuna that were revealed to Adam Arishan on that day. When we say B'Tishrei Nivra Olam, means Rosh Hashanah was the day on which Adam Arishan was created. Now, the other reason, Rosh Hashanah was that year on Friday. By us, in our calendar, Lo Adu Rosh, the way we have the system, Rosh Hashanah never falls out on a Friday. The Kabbalah Swarm, they write, because the world is imperfect today, so that's why it never falls. Really, the correct way should be, Rosh Hashanah should always be on a Friday. That's the way it was in Sheshit Meibrachos. You don't need any proof that the world is imperfect. Everybody read the newspaper. Everybody knows the world is imperfect. But the Kabbalah says such a lashon. Because the world is imperfect, that's why Rosh Hashanah, according to our system, never falls out on a Friday. So, in the original Rosh Hashanah, it was Hashem Oiri, HaKadosh Baruch Hu illuminated, he gave Ha'ora to Adam Arishan, he revealed himself that he exists, and he told him, I'm the Balabas, I created the world, Vaitzav, Hashem Elkim Al Adam, he told him it's going to be Schar B'Yonish, and we review all of that on Rosh Hashanah, we're Mekabel Malchusoi, and we go to the river, Emoshchem Samlochem El Al Hamayin Kadeshi Moshech Malchusa, and we chazer over the Ikori Hamuna of Zichronus and Shofres as well. Rav Soloveitchik used to say in the Nusach of the Vidui that we recite by Ne'ila, we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He should help us do tshuva, and the tshuva should be a lasting tshuva, and we should not return back to our sins of the past. So we say, L'man dechtal, le'oishik yodeinu. We should stop stealing. Everybody cheats on income tax. Everybody's stealing. Why do you mention L'man dechtal, le'oishik yodeinu? Why do you single out? There's so many avarice that people do. From A to Z, we have Hashem, the Bagan, such a long list. Why do you only single out Oishik? So Oishik said that HaNesham Allah V'Aguf Shalach, a body belongs to the Rabbanu Shalom. And if we misuse it, we use the body, we use our minds to do avaris, so it's gezel. So manechta mioshik doesn't mean we're cheating on income tax or we're stealing in business. It means we're using our body improperly. We have no right to use it. The Rabbanu Shalom owns our body, owns our mind, and we have no right to use it against his wishes. So he thought that perhaps that's the pshat. Manechta mioshik yadenu. We should stop misusing for the purpose of avaris. Yeah. In the end, the parsha is Bishalach. The Chumash describes what happened with Amalek, and then the parsha ends off Kiyor al Keisko Mecham Hashem BaAmalek Midor Dor. The Rebbeinu Shalom pledges. He takes a shvua. He swears by his throne. Kiyor al Keisko. He swears by his throne. He's going to wage war against Amalek throughout all the generations. So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, from the Mechilta. What does it say? Keisko. Why doesn't it say Kisei Hashem? Because man that you have a Moloch in the world, ein akisei sholem. What do you mean ein akisei sholem? Kisei means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech HaOlam. Melech HaOlam means the one who is the Balabas, has full control over everything. You look around, you have Tzadik V'Ralo, Rosh HaBetovlo. It looks as if the Rebbeinu Shalom is not in control. As if we believe that he knows everything that's happening. We believe that he's a good God and that he cares. So how does he allow such terrible tragedies to occur? How come you have Tzadik V'Ralo, Rosh HaBetovlo? So you get the mistaken impression as if ein akisei sholem, as if the Rebbeinu Shalom is not in full control. So that's one of the Ikari HaEmunah, is that we believe in Bias HaMashiach, the day will come that all of mankind will accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Melech. So that's what we quote all of the Pesukim Mamalchis, and we quote the 10th Pasuk is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The day will come that all of Rashi translates. Well, how do you translate the Pasuk? Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So the Rambam says the pasuk means we believe in monotheism. There's only one God. And Rashi al HaTorah doesn't say like that. Rashi says Hashem Shehu Elokeinu Achshav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whom we accept now as the Melech. The day will come that Hashem Echad, it will be accepted by all of mankind. So that's how we use that pasuk in Malchias. We say Aleinu L'Shabeach Adon HaKol. We believe there's only one God, Hashem Echad. We're not going to worship Avodah Zarah. They worship Avodah Zarah. We believe only in one God. And then we say, the day will come that all the mankind will accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Hemshech of the Malchias. The Kisei will be Sholem. The Achronim write a minute that when you write a get, or you write a ksuga, I have 9 children, so one of my daughters got married in Yerushalayim. She, after high school, she went there, so she never came back. So so she married an Israeli boy. So in her ksuba, she got married in Yerushalayim. So the minigins in the ksuba on a get, so you spell Yerushalayim Chosayud at the end. Because in Tanakh, the name Yerushalayim appears, I think, over 600 times or something like that. And only 3 times it's spelled Mole, Lamed Yud Mem. All the times it's spelled Chosay. So the Tzlach, the Nevi Yehuda has a Sefer of Brachas at the end of Brachas, and the Tzlach, he comments, why is Yerushalayim always spelled Chosim in Tanakh? Because in Sefer Yirmiyah, Yerushalayim is referred to as Kisei Hashem, the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because officially, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech over Eretz Yisrael, and his capital city is Yerushalayim. So because Kiyot al Keisko, because it looks as if Ein Akisei Sholem, the mistaken impression is if HaKadosh Baruch is not in full control, so the Kisei is incomplete, referred to as Keisko, so that's Yerushalayim, is referred to in Sefer Yirmiyah as Kisei Hashem, so we spell Yerushalayim Choseh. La'asid Lavoi, when all the nations in the world will accept HaKadosh Baruch as the Melech, they'll spell Yerushalayim Molech with the Yud at the end. That's how the Tzlach writes at the end. at the end of Brachas, the Sefer on Brachas. So Leitchik explained in Chumash we talk about Yiras Shemaim, Yiras Hashem, Es Hashem Elkecha Tira. We don't talk about Pachad from Hashem. Pachad is a negative thing. So why do we say V'chein Tei Pachad Chakom Asech V'imos Chakom Asher Baruch? So everyone should tremble from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so far in history, the other nations of the world have not accepted HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Melech HaOlam. They couldn't care less what he has to say. So we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'chein Tein Pachtecha V'arvon HaPachad on all the Yomus HaOlam. They should have to accept your kingdom in order that you should hasten the day of bringing about Mashiach. The Ribbono Shel Olam created a world. He created the world, that's a nes. He created the world, yesh me'ayim, that's a tremendous nes. Gemara has a cloud. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't make nisim unnecessarily. So why did he create the world? It's destroying itself. Everybody's killing everybody else. It doesn't make any sense. So we have an ikar and emunah that there will be a gula asida. The day will come when all of mankind will accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if they don't accept, so we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they should have to accept you as the Melech. It's not fair that because of some countries, some nations don't want to accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Melech. So that's why we're still waiting for the Gula Hasid. So we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should eradicate those people. That's what we say by the Seder also. We say, Shvach HaMascha, we open the door, we say, Shvach HaMascha, L'Gam Shalai Yiduch. Why are we saying Shvach HaMascha? Because we're going to say to him, the Shmaskal Chai Tevorech Hashim Chashem Elkeinu, the day should come that all of mankind should accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's not coming. So we say it's not fair. These, the people are, the nations that don't want to accept you, they're holding up the whole Gula, the whole Tikkun for the whole world. So we say, Shvach HaMascha L'Goyim. So absolutely, she thought the same over here. V'chein Tein Pachtuch HaSeim Shvach HaMascha L'Goyim. Not, B'yiruch HaKal HaMasim, we want, there should be Yir HaShemayim. That's a positive thing. We don't really want Pachat, but if they're not accepting the Ribbono Shel Olam. So we said, V'chein Tein Pachtuch HaForce them, V'kleif on them, they should have to accept the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah that originally, the Gemara explains in Mishnah, originally they used to blow shofar in Shacharis, in Chazaras HaShatz and Shacharis. Then because of historical problems, so they moved from Shacharis to Musaf. So the question is, how can they blow shofar in Shacharis? He's supposed to blow shofar in Chazaras HaShatz after Malchus Reina Shofar. We only say Malchus Reina Shofar in Musaf. So how can they blow shofar in Shacharis? So Rashi and the Balamor understand, Rashi and Avodah Zarah in the first paragraph, the Balamor and Rosh Hashanah, they say that all the tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah have to be Malchus Chana Shofar. The Gemara doesn't say only Musaf. That's not our practice. We don't say, we have Ma'ariv and Shacharis and Minchah, we don't say Malchus Chana Shofar. But the Gemara never says it's only Musaf. So according to those, we show him that every tefillah, every Amidah and Rosh Hashanah has to have Malchus Chana Shofar. So there's no problem. So he used to blow shofar in Shacharis. According to the standard practice that you only recite Malchus Reina Shofar and Musaf, so the point is, it's not that you only say it in Musaf, you only say Malchus Reina Shofar and that tefillah, where you're going to blow shofar. So when they used to blow shofar in Chazaras HaShatz in Shacharis, they said Malchus Reina Shofar in Shacharis and Musaf, where only had seven brachas, like Musaf on Shabbos and Yontif. When they moved Malchus Reina Shofar to Musaf, so they moved, when they moved the Tkiyas to Musaf, so then they moved the Malchus Reina Shofar to Musaf. And when this historical consideration will normalize and we'll go back to the regular, so we'll only say Malchus Reina Shofar is in Shacharis, not in Musaf.
The Gemara says that he remembers that they didn't say in Musaf. Right? The Yechidus, they didn't say Malchus Reina Shofar
in Musaf. Balamor says that when he was growing up, they didn't have Machzer. So he says the people didn't know how to say Malchus Reina Shofar, so they improvised. So they said an Amidah of seven brachas, like on Shabbos and Gimel Rishonis, we know. And the Gimel Acharein is Bino and Nishman Esrei. He just changed instead of Akel HaKadosh, say HaMelech HaKadosh. Fine. And then the middle bracha, they didn't say everything that we say by Musaf. They just said Atav Chatanim Kol Hamim. Then they said V'titlanu Ziyam Azikor Nazeh. Then V'tech HaTvenu V'lina Mi'atzenu V'anach Nicholim to bring the Tmidim of Musaf and Yeratzim of Anach to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and bring the Musaf and Mishan. V'ken Kavaseinu They left out the whole Malchus and the Shofar, all the Tefillos. Then he said, so the Chazan, it was the Chazan's job to know the whole Malchus and the Shofar by heart. He had to know all the Pesukim by heart, the Balabatim, all the whole Tzibah. They didn't know all that by heart. They didn't have any Machzorim. And then he writes, when he got older, that's when they started to write down the Machzorim. Because for many years it was assumed that the Nusach HaTfila is a chelik of the Torah Shabbat Peh, and you're not allowed to write down Torah Shabbat Peh. So in the days of the Gemara was Keneged HaDin, you weren't allowed to write down a Siddur. The Gemara says in Perikol Kisvei, Koisvei Tfilas Kisorfei Torah. You're not allowed to write down the Nusach HaTfila. And if you did write it down, if there'll be a Sreifa, you're not allowed to be Matzalit. If there's a Sreifa, you're permitted to be Matzal Kisvei HaKodesh. You're permitted to be Matzal Sefer Torah and the Aron Kodesh. To take it into a Carmelist to do Isurim a little bit, Isurim Darabana, in order to be Matzal. But you're not allowed to be Matzal a Siddur because you weren't allowed to write down the Siddur in the first place. So that's what the Gemara has a Lashon, Kaisvei Brachas, if someone writes down a Siddur, Kisurfei Torah, it's if he's burning Torah, because if there'll be a Sreifa, he won't be allowed to be Matzal, so it'll be your fault that this is going to get burnt. So the Balmor writes that when he was younger, they already had Sidurim from the days of the Gun, but they didn't have a Machzah. So the only the Chazan had to know the Malchus Chana Shofar. He said it out loud in Chazor HaSashatz, and everybody had to be Yotzei with the Chazor HaSashatz. And the Yechidim, Ludavin, Fila Balachash, they said only they could improvise, they said an Amidav, seven brachas. Then when he got older, so then everybody said they had a Machzah. Everybody said the Malchus Chana Shofar. So he, but he writes also like Rashi, that you're supposed to say Malchus Chana Shofar by Mayrev, and by Shachris, and by Musa, and by Mincha, because the Gemara says in Masechus Brachas that when the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah composed the Nusach HaTfila, they composed everything based on a mokum in Tanakh, how many units you can have in a Tfila. So when they composed the Shemona Esrei, 18 Brachas, they had a source in Tanakh that you can have a Tfila with 18 units. And then on a kind of sibum, and the Chazan adds on another six brachas, so they found the Mokar and Tanakh that you can have a tefillah which has 24 units. The 18 brachas plus six brachas. Then there's a Mokar and Tanakh that you can have a tefillah with seven units. That's on Shabbos and Yom Tov. You have seven units. There's a Mokar and Tanakh, you can have a tefillah with nine units. So that's Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara doesn't say it's Musaf or Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says Rosh Hashanah. And the Mokar that you can have a tefillah with nine units is tefillah Schanah. So the Gemara says, Chana was an Akara, all the years she had no children. Then she gave birth to Shmuel HaNavi. So, because B'Rosh Hashanah Nifked Chana, her prayers on Rosh Hashanah were answered. When she davened for a child on Rosh Hashanah, her prayers were answered. So that's why we, Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, composed the Nusach HaTfilah for Rosh Hashanah with nine parts, because her tefillah has Shem Hashem nine times. And we mentioned this in the davening. In the piyutim in the davening, that the reason why Rosh Hashanah there are nine brachas because Tfilas Chana had nine times mentioning Shem Hashem. So the Balamor says the Gemara never said it's Musaf on Rosh Hashanah. Gemara says Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah dika davening is nine brachas. He says it goes on Ma'ariv and Shachris and Musaf and Mincha. But if you hold not like the Balamor, you hold that it's only a Musaf. You have to say it's not Musaf. The word is and that Shmon Esrei, that Tfilah. You're going to have Tkiyah Shofar, so that's when you say Malchus Chana Shofar. So in the earlier generations, when they blew Shofar and Shachris, so then they said Malchus Chana Shofar and Shachris. And when they changed it, because of a historical consideration, when they changed it to Musaf, so then they shifted Malchus Chana Shofar to Musaf.
So Chana davened on Rosh Hashanah, and she gave birth on Rosh Hashanah?
No, she davened on Rosh Hashanah. I don't think it was born on Rosh Hashanah. Nifkido. No, her prayers, the prayers that she offered on Rosh Hashanah, those prayers were answered. Yeah. Balamor has also an interesting chiddush. He says, the Gemara says that we blow tkiyas the miyushim and tkiyas the miyumim. So why do you blow so much? One says Kedei La'Bevis Hasotin. You write it with much less. Kedei La'Bevis Hasotin. So Rashi writes on the Gemara, how exactly do you succeed in being La'Bevis Hasotin? So Rashi translates the words of the Gemara that the Sotin wants to present it as if the Jewish people are not interested in mitzvah. So we demonstrate, not only do we do Tkir Shefer, we go above and beyond what we were instructed to do. We blow many times more than what we have to. So we demonstrate that we have a big Chavivus for the mitzvah. Because we do more than HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to do. So Taisa says, if you're doing more than he instructed you to do, why should that be a violation of Bal Taisa? Not allowed to add on. Let's say a Kohen enjoys giving brachas to the Nesol, so I'll add on another couple of psukim. Yesev Hashem Alechem Kachem Melech Tamim. You can quote more psukim. So he says, no, the Gemara says that you violate Bal Taisa. So how can you blow more tkiyas than you're mechuyev to? So Taisa has a chiddush. Taisa says, let's say you have some karbonis, you have one zrik, some karbonis, you have two zrikas in the two opposite corners. And the chatas, you have four zrikas. So the Mishnah in Zvachim gives an example of Bal Taisif. If you do three or four zrikas on the korban, that only needs one or two zrikas. So Taisif says that's because you're doing zrik on another carrying on the Mizbeach. But let's say the korban that only requires one zrika, and you do one zrika 20 times in the same corner. So Taisin says Machadish, it's a big Chiddush. Taisin Machadish, that's not a violation of Bal Taisin. To repeat the mitzvah many times is not a violation. It'll only be a violation if you do an additional Zvika in a different carrying of the Mizbech. But to repeat Zvika in the same corner, that's not a violation. Interesting. So then Taisin said the same thing. Let's say you'll have, instead of having three Hadassim, you'll have 60 Hadassim. Hadass Begimatria is how much? Is 69. So I think there were Chassidish Rebbes, it would take 69 Hadassim. Hey, Dalet Samach is 69, I think. So they would take 69 Hadassim. So the Rambam has a Machlekes. The Rambam quotes Machlekes. Is that a violation of Bal Taisif? If you take more than two Arabis, you take more than three Hadassim. So the Rambam thinks that it's not. He quotes the opinion that it is Bal Taisif. He thinks that it's not. Why? So Taisif says that's considered repeating the same mitzvah many times. That's questionable. Taisa says you have four parshias, Shema Vayam, Shema Kadesh Vayakiv Yach, and the Tefillin. So if you put a fifth parsha in the Tefillin, that'll be a violation of Bal Taisa. What if you like Shema, and you put in twice parsha Shema? So Taisa said that's repeating the same. Why is that repeating? Repeating means if you take off the Tefillin, you put it back on, you take it off, you put it back on an hour later. But here you're doing wrong. You have two parshias Shema in the Tefillin. You have 10 Hadassim instead of 3. That's not repeating the mitzvah. That's what Taisa says. That's considered repeating the mitzvah. If you have two parsha Shema, you didn't put a fifth parsha. You put a second copy of the same parsha. They're supposed to be there. So that's not a violation about that. That's what Taisa says. The Yireim has a different answer. The Yireim says that in Chumash, the Minchas Chinuch writes this on his own. And others point out that Rabbi Yosef Engel points out. The Yireim gives this answer. In the Chumash, it doesn't say explicitly how many tkiyas you need. It says, Yom Tru'a Yelachem. Sounds like all day long. So the Torah Shabbat Peh says, you don't have to have all day long tkiyas shayfa. You blow three times tkiyas Tru'a tkiyas. But since the Pshut Tushon Mikra sounds like Yom Tru'a Yelachem, you blow shayfa all day long, so that's not a violation of Bal Taisif. But if you're going to have an extra parsha and the tefillin, that's not the same. There is no such thing. You're going to do another Zrika? Maybe it will be Bal Taisif. Even though Taisif thinks that that's repeating the same mitzvah many times. The Yireim may not necessarily agree with the Bal Yad. The Yireim was a Talmud of the Rabbi Tam, but he doesn't necessarily agree with what Taisif said. He says that Kiyah is different because it says Yom Tru Elachem. The simple reading is that all day long you blow Shaifim. So the Gemara talks about the fact that you blow Tkiyah is the Miyushim and Tkiyah is the Miyum. So what's the definition? What's Tkiyah is the Miyushim? And blow all the extra Gedei La'Abeves HaSotam. So what does it mean, Tkir is the Miyush of Tkir is the Miyum? So we usually translate, Tkir is the Miyum, and Tkir is in the middle of the Amidah, middle of the Chazaras HaShatz, middle of the Shemon Esrei. And Tkir is the Miyush of, and when you're not in the middle of the Shemon Esrei, the Tkir is before Musaf, those are called the Tkir is the Miyum. It doesn't necessarily mean you're supposed to sit. If you want to, you may sit. It means you're not in the middle of the Amidah, not in the middle of the Shemon Esrei. So many Sfardim have the practice that they sit during Tkir is the Miyush of. So the Netziv, in his commentary on the Shiltas, he makes a whole fuss of this. So he says, because he's giving pshat to why the minig was by many communities that they would dafke sit. So he says, because the din, either a din deraisa, din derabanan, the din is that you're supposed to blow, you're supposed to be out in the mitzvah of tkiya shofar, I'll say the habracha. That's supposed to be out in the mitzvah before. So they would sit to demonstrate that they have kavanah shalolotzis. They don't want to be out. So if you don't want to be out, so why do you blow shofar before? So don't blow shofar. So the Balamor writes. Balamor claims that that's not pshat in the Gemara. Balamor says that the tkiyas before Musav was instituted in the days of the Goyim. Days of the Gemara, they never had that. But the Gemara talks about tkiyas the Miyusha, tkiyas the Miyumah. So he says, tkiyas the Miyusha means that tkiyas in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, when everybody's sitting in their seat and there's decorum in the synagogue. Miyusha. Tkiyas the Miyumah was everybody's, the davening is over and everybody is taking off their talis and walking out. There's the movement. Everybody's walking out of shul. There's a balagan. So, but he says that tkiyas before Musav, that was introduced in the days of the Goyim. Why? So he says, because the Goyim introduced a lot of piyutim in the earlier generation. They didn't have any piyutim, so the davening was over. At the same time it's over, and on a regular Shabbos and Yom Tov, Shem 1, 2, 3, way before Chatzos. But because the Goyim introduced all of these long piyutim, it's going to take forever. So the Mubaris and Manikas and the Cholim Meskan won't be able to haltos. They can't be in shul so long. So they probably will not last till the end of the Tkiyas al Seder HaBrachas. So that's why the meaning was that they blew all the Tkiyas necessary before Musaf. So the Cholim Meskanim, who have to leave early, let them be Yotzei then. But all the healthy people had in mind not to be Yotzei with the Tkiyas then. So that's what the Netziv says. The practice was that they would sit to demonstrate you have kavanah shalolot. It's because the Shulchan Aruch says, also a tradition from the days of the Goyim, that there are a whole number of mitzvahs that you're supposed to fulfill ba'amidah, even though it never says in the Gemara. So one of them is Sfira Sa'imer, because it says bakoma, tikri bakoma, or bakoma, and you should stand for tkiya shofar also. So they had the healthy people would sit when they blew the kiss to Yushav to demonstrate that they have a mind not to be Yotze, because if it'll be Yotze before, then you won't be Yotze the real din of Tkiyas Al Seder HaBrachas. Tkiyas Al Seder HaBrachas means you should be Yotze Tkiyas Shofar Al Seder HaBrachas, not to be Yotze before and to make the rabbis happy to blow also during Chazaras HaShatz. You're supposed to be Yotze the mitzvah Al Seder HaBrachas. Then the Balamor adds on also, he has a lot of original chidushim. He says in the earlier generations, in the days of the Gemara, when they only blew in the Shemoneh Esrei, they didn't blow before. So he says they never said a bracha the Shema Kol Shofar. Why? Because the tkiyas are in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei. So he has this chiddush that Netziv explains what he's talking about. He has a the Gemara says the Chachamim made a takana that kol mitzvahs kulam bracha aleim boi velasios. You always have to say a bracha as you're about to fulfill a mitzvah. So let's say I want to drink a cup of tea. I'm going to say shakol niyeh b'dvorei. So do I have to say a bracha before shekedushanu b'mitzvah sabit tzivanu levorach al ha'oichlen? There's a mitzvah mid'rabbanim where I say a bracha kedushanu b'mitzvah sabit tzivanu on a mitzvah d'rabbanim also. So how come we don't say brichas ha'mitzvah before you do before you say shakol? Or let's say you're going to say kiddush. On Leil Shabbos going to say kiddush. So it's a mitzvah in our Torah to recite kiddush. So we should really say Hashem Kiddushan Mitzvot says one of the Kadesh HaZah Shabbos, recite a Birchus HaMitzvah before you're about to fulfill the mitzvah of reciting Kiddush. Are you going to say Birchus HaMazon? That's a passing L'chumash V'chalta V'sorot V'rachta. So how come we don't recite a Birchus HaMitzvah before we say the Birchus HaMazon? So the Nesivus has this Yesod in his Hakdamah, his Haggadah, and the Netziv writes it on his own. He says, apparently, whenever the mitzvah is being fulfilled in the form of a bracha, they didn't feel it necessary to introduce another brichas ha-mitzvah in advance. So not only when the mitzvah is being fulfilled in the form of a bracha, like saying shahakol, or saying kiddush, or saying brichas ha-mazon, if the mitzvah is being fulfilled al seder ha-brachas, within the framework of brachas, also they never introduced a brichas ha-mitzvah in advance. So that's what the Baal HaMor says in the days of the Gemara, that they didn't blow. He claims that the tkiyas before Musaf was introduced in the days of the Goyim. And he reinterprets the Gemara that's not Tkiyas the Miyushav. Tkiyas the Miyushav means that Tkiyas in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz. And Tkiyas the Miyumin is when everybody's running out of shul. And he claims in the days of the Gemara they never had kiyas before Musaf. So if the kiyas shofar was in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz, so they don't recite the Birchas HaMitzvah. Since the kiyas in the middle of it, it's in the framework of other brachas, so they never were misakan a bracha for that. So the Netziv goes further. There is a Gemara in Megillah. The Gemara says there were different Tanoim and Amoraim who lived to a ripe old age. And the Talmidim asked them, "Bamehar achta yamim, what do you attribute your longevity to? What special midas chasidus were you makbid about that you were zechut such an arichas yam?" So every Tana gives a different explanation. What his personal midas chasidus was. So one of them was a kohen. So he says, "I had a midas chasidus that whenever I would go to duchen, I would recite the bracha shekudashani b'kedushos shalayim sivon bracha zavisodi aavo." He said the bracha. He would never duchen without saying the bracha. So the Meiri and that Gemara asks, it's the Gemara Megillah. So the Meiri asks, why is that a Midas Chasidus? That's the din, you have to say a bracha before. So the Meiri gives an interesting answer. So the Netziv didn't have the Meiri. So the Netziv says he thinks the answer is the following. Meikar Adin, since the Kohanim have to duchen in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz, after Tavshim Chalachanol, after Maidim, so Meikar Adin, you don't say any bracha at all. Just like the Balamar says, you don't say a bracha on Tekiyah Shofar if you're blowing Shofar for the first time in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz. But this was a Midas Chasidus that Tana had, because there's a line in the Zohar that says, the Poskim quote this, that an Erev Yom Kippur there's a minute to give a bracha Birchas Hamonim, we give a bracha to the children. So the Zohar writes that whenever you're about to give a bracha to a Bas of Adam, the Erech Eretz dictates that you should first give a bracha to the Rabbanu Shalom. So say a Pasuk, Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen, Baruch Hashem Tzion Shechein Yerushalayim Halukah, say some kind of a pasuk or another that has a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch. It's not Derech Eretz to give a bracha to Bas of Adam without first giving a bracha to the Rabbanu Shalom. So this Tana, his practice was, he composed his own bracha to the Rabbanu Shalom. Instead of saying a pasuk, he would say Asher Kedoshan Bin Shosu Shalara. It's problematic, isn't that a din of bracha levatola? He can say a pasuk is one thing, but the composer bracha that, so that's a problem. But that's what the Netziv explains. He said that's the pshat and this balamor. He claims that in the days of the Gemara that they never had the tkiyas before Musaf, so they didn't say a bracha only if a private person would be home, chol miskenim, who had to have the bal tekiyah come blow by them. And then the Gemara says when you blow in shofar b'yechidus, not b'tzibur, you don't blow al seder abrachas. So then they would say a bracha. But whenever they would blow shofar and shul, it would be in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz. So they never said a bracha. That is an interesting chiddush. Yeah, the Mefarshim point out, the Gemara says, why is it that in the earlier generations they used to blow shofar and shachris? What's the issue whether you should blow shofar and shachris or a musaf? So the Gemara says there are two opposing considerations. The Gemara says you should blow shofar and shachris because riz magdim lemitzvahs. Then the Gemara says, but the shul is half empty, shachris, because everybody comes in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. It's the days of the Gemara, the days of the Mishnah. So the shul is half empty. So if you blow shofar musaf, it'll be a mile of Berovam Haras Melech. So what do you do when you have these two competing considerations? Which one takes precedence? So the Gemara says that this Riz Magdim Mitzvah takes precedence over the Berovam Haras Melech. So the really more correct is they should blow shofar and shachris in Chazaras Hashatz al Shachris, even though the shul is half empty, and whoever came late, it'll be his problem not to convince the Baal Tekeya to blow for him privately afterwards, because they're not going to blow in Musaf as well. And then they changed it because of a whole historical ASIC. So that's what the Stechemin has a lot about this. That the common practice is when someone makes a Pinyan Aben, so if they're going to have the Pinyan Aben in the morning after the Shachris, hardly anybody's going to show up. Somehow, by bris, a lot of people show up. By pinyan ben, hardly anybody will show up. If you have it at the end of the day, you'll succeed in getting a bigger crowd. So the common practice is everybody has the pinyan ben at the end of the day because you want to have Rav Amar as mellow. So the Stechemin quotes all that and say that it's not proper because this Gemara is beferish that Zviz Magdim and the Mitzvahs takes the Boti Dur. Zviz Magdim is a mitzvah and Rav Amar as mellow is a mitzvah. But the Gemara is beferish that the Hidur of Zviz Magdimim takes precedence over the Hidur of Berovam Haras Melech. So more correct would be to do the Pidyon HaBen in the morning even though it means that fewer people will attend.
Kiddush Levana, someone has an option to do Kiddush Levana either earlier, less before, or later than before we say.
Yeah, also, that's right. Should we do those? There is Magdim Lametzas.
Kiddush Levana, Yechidus, earlier rather than wait for Roi Vav on Chatzis Shabbos.
Okay. Okay, also.
Was it when the Chatzis Shabbos was for Roi Vav, or is it more proper than dressed?
The Shulchan Aruch recommends Matzoi Shabbos because everybody's dressed in Big Day Shabbos. Right. Because when you say Kiddush Levan, it's compared to the Mekabel of Pnei Ashchina. So you should be dressed nicely. So usually Shabbos would dress fancier. Okay. The Stam is Rizmak Dein Mitzvah, probably takes precedence to them too. I don't know. It's an interesting point. Now, Soloveitchik was fond of saying over his interpretation in the Gemara that how many psukim do you have to say? He showed that each one of these three brachas, brachas and shofars, has the same format. Each bracha begins with the principle of faith that we believe in, like the Rabbi Yosef Alba writes. All the Rambam's 13 Yikar Amun can boil down to three: Malchus, and all that entails, Echranis and shofars. So each one of the three brachas will begin with a statement that we believe in Malchaleinu L'shabech, Alkein L'kabalucha. We spell out what Malchus means, spell out what Zechronis means, and what Shofars means. Then the middle part of each one of the brachas is the same. Whenever you want to bring about a point, so the best way to prove your point is by saying Dovah Zarkos Batorah V'shan Mavim Shulnish Baksuvim. They say that's what it says in Tanakh. So that's what we say in the middle part. We say this idea of Malchus Abim Zechronis is based on Psukim and Tanakh. So really, one Tana is of the opinion it's sufficient if you quote one Pasuk from Chumash, one Pasuk from Navi, and one Pasuk from Ksuvim. But L'chatchila, B'yevid, one would be it. But L'chatchila, we follow the opinion of the Tana. You should say three Psukim from Torah, three Psukim from Nevi'im, and three Psukim from Ksuvim. Our meaning is that we say three from Psukim from Chumash, three from Ksuvim, then three from Nevi'im. Why is it out of order? Why don't we go Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim? So the Ran quotes the Rishonim. It's out of order in the Tanakh, but chronologically it is in order because the Psukim that we're quoting from Ksuvim are all from Tehillim. The Tehillim was composed by David HaMelech, who came before all of the Nevi'im. The Psukim from Nevi'im are from the later Nevi'im. So it's in chronological order, even though it's not really in... that's one explanation. They quote another explanation, but that's the regular explanation. So we really should say three psukim from Torah, three psukim from Ksuvim, fine, three psukim from Devim. But then we pass and say a tenth pasuk. So what is a tenth pasuk all about? So Rav Soloveitchik showed from the Gemara, the tenth pasuk is to enhance the bakosha at the end, at the conclusion of each one of the three brachas, we have a bakosha. At the conclusion of Malchus, it starts, Alekenu Kevin Melocha Kol Horon Kulu B'Chvedach V'Nasa Kol Horot B'Karecha. Hasten the day that there will be Malchus, all the nations of the world will accept Malchus V'Kodesh Baruch Hu, and so on. The same thing at the end of Zechronis, we offer a Bakosha, L'Kein K'Veseinu, Zechen V'Zikar Tov V'Fanecha V'Fakten V'Fikudas V'Shua V'Rachmim, etc. And at the end of Shofars, we end off with a Bakosha, L'Kein K'Veseinu, K'Veshe V'Gor L'Chei V'Seinu, etc. So, to enhance, because you always have to have bakoshas in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. If you daven without bakosha, you just have shevach and hoidoya. So that's not tefillah. Derech Eretz dictates, and one learns that from Sukkim Nechamas, Derech Eretz dictates that it's not proper to offer tefillah, bakosha sarachim, without introducing it with shevach, without concluding with hoidoya, moedim al nachnaloch. But the essence of the tefillah is really the middle part, the bakosha sarachim. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has this in one of his tshuvas. He raises the question that on Shabbos and Yom Tov we leave out all the brachas and tzoyos, and the Rambam writes that there's an obligation to daven in a Torah once a day, every day. And that obligation requires you should offer the tefillah in that format, to start up with shevach, then go with vaydoya, in the middle to have bakoshes tzorachim. So Shabbos and Yom Tov we leave out all the bakoshes tzorachim. So how are we yotze the mitzvah deraisa of tefillah? It's ikar chosman and sefer. The ikar of tefillah is really the middle part, not the first part. The Baruch Hashem doesn't need the shevach. It's not our cheretz on our part to offer a tefillah to start offering a bakasha without first saying Sheva. Santar Cheretz just end off with the bakasha. Send off, thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for everything that he gave you in the past. But the Iker, the Tefillah, is really in the middle part. So how can you have davening on Shabbos and Yom Tov? So Moshe Feinstein says, no, if you look in the Siddur, the concluding paragraph on Shabbos and Yom Tov is always bakasha surah. The ruchni is dikat zorach. It's not gashni is dikat zorach. The same, the three brachas and tzoyes on Rosh Hashanah, the malchus and the shofars, also each one ends off, the third part ends off with a bakosha. So to be mechazik, the bakosha, so we do two things. We blow shofar to elevate the level of the bakosha to the level we said, Yom Shachar Beis HaMikdash, Nin Alu Shari Tefillah. The tefillahs are not accepted the way they used to be. But however, even though the Gemara says, although Shari Tefillah Nin Alu, Shari Demar is Loi Nin Alu. So we blow shofar, it's Yom Trua, and we targumin on Yom Yavova to cry. So the Tekiah shofar is to enhance the tefillah, to elevate it to the level of the tefillah Sheishim Ademar. It's as if we're crying in the middle. These are serious things that we're asking for. So we enhance the bakosha in the concluding paragraph by blowing shofar, number one, then by number two, by including a pasuk. We say, you promised us that you're going to do this. Like we say, Malchias, we say, the last pasuk, the nine psukim already proved the point. There are three psukim from Torah, three psukim from Ksulim, the three psukim from Nevi'im. The tenth pasuk is not really part of the nine psukim. The nine psukim prove the point. Tenth pasuk is to be mechazik the bakosha. You promised us, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The way Rashi says, Hashem Hu Elokeinu now, the day will come that he will be Hashem Echad, he will be accepted by all of Masa Olam. So we ask him, please fulfill your promise. And then the same thing in Zechronis.
Shema Yisrael is bakosha?
No. The Elkein was saying, Lachal Kol Holam, that's the Bakosha. And right before that, we say the 10th Pasuk, after the 9th Pasuk. The Rishonim already point out, the 10th Pasuk is located differently in Malchias than from Zechonis and Shofas. In Zechonis and Shofas, the 10th Pasuk is in the Bakosha. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zechonim Zechon Tavlof Anecha, as you yourself said in the Chumash, that you're going to do it. And we say, as you yourself promised us in the Chumash. The 10th Pasuk by Malchias, we say before we start, why is that? How come it's not in the last paragraph? So the Rishonim say, because in Malchias, we combine together the Bracha of Kedushas Hayayim with the Bracha of Malchias. And Kedushas Hayayim, the Pasuk doesn't fit in. So Malchias is a guest. That's how the Rishonim have a lashon. The theme of Malchias is a guest in the middle. And every Shabbos and Yom Tov, the fourth bracha, the bracha immediately following Atah Kodesh Shemcha Kodesh, the bracha following Kedushas Hashem, is always the bracha of Kedushas Hayom. The Kodesh Yisrael Yom HaZikor. So Malchias is a guest. So we put them together. Melech Al Kol Haaretz, the Kodesh Yisrael Yom HaZikor. So since Malchias is a guest, it's a little too much to insert a pasuk in the middle of the concluding paragraph. Zichrinus and Shofers, it's Zichrinus and Shofers, so we put the pasuk that enhances the bakosha in the middle of the bakosha. But Malchus, since the bracha is basically a bracha of Kedushas Hayayim, so we feel it's not right to put the pasuk. So we put the pasuk at the end of the ninth psukim, but it really is not a hemshech of the ninth psukim, it's really an introduction to the Kenu Kelaseinu, Locha Kol Holam Kula Bichoydecha. The Rav Soloveitchik got this idea from the Gemara. In the days of the Tanaim, there were three opinions. How do you take all of the... There really should have been 10 brachas in Rosh Hashanah. You should have Gimel Rishonis, Gimel Achronis, and one bracha in the middle, like every Shabbos and Yom, the bracha Mekadosh Yisrael Yom HaZikor. Then you learn that from Psukim, either a Din Derais, a Din Derabbanan. You should add on another three brachas, Malchus, Chayin, and Shofas. So it's three and three and three and one. And one. So it should be 10 brachas. How come we only have 9 brachas? So the Gemara says, because they looked in Tanakh, they didn't find a tefillah that has 10 units. There's a source for a tefillah that has 18 units. Source of tefillah has 24 units. Chazaras HaShatz on the time of Sibur. A mocker in Tanakh for a tefillah that has 7 units. Every Shabbos in Yom Tov has 7 units. And tefillah Schana mentions Shem Hashem 9 times, a mocker for 9 units. So all the Tanakhim are working with the assumption, he really should have said 10 brachas, but there's no marker in Tanakh, so we combine together two brachas, we make out of the 10, we make 9 brachas. So in the days of the Tanakh, there was a big machlokes, which two brachas should you combine? So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was of the opinion that you should insert Malchias into the bracha Atta Kodesh Shimcha Kodesh, because in Aseres made sure that we're going to change the Nusach at the end. We're going to say HaMelech HaKodesh, we're going to mention Malchias anyway. So may as well combine Malchias with Atta Kodesh, with Kedushas Hashem, because you're going to have the theme of Malchias anyway. Rabbi Akiva disagrees with him. He says, no, the three Malchias HaKodesh should be in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei. And the two that you combine together, that's how we follow Rabbi Akiva's opinion, the two that you combine together are the Kedusha Sayyim, Atav Chatanet Titlon, Siyamazikor Nazeh. So you combine together Kedusha Sayyim with Malchias. Why? Because Malchias is, why do they combine? Because Malchias is one of the themes of Rosh Hashanah. Adam Arishan was Mekab Malchusa on Rosh Hashanah. Shem revealed himself and it was Mekab Malchusa. And every Rosh Hashanah, we have Mekab Malchusa of their Rabban Shalom. So that's why we combine these two together. And then the common practice always was like Rabbi Akiva. And then the Mishnah says that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was of the opinion that just like on a normal Shabbos and Yontif, you put Kedusha Sayyim in the middle, you have three brachas at the beginning, three brachas at the end, and one bracha in the middle. So Kedusha Sayyim is always Be'emtza. So on Rosh Hashanah, you put it Be'emtza of Be'emtza. You have Malchi, Zechayna, Shofres. So Zechayna is Emtza. So you should combine Kedusha Sayyim with Zichreinus. Just like always, Kedusha Sayyim is Be'emtza, and Rosh Hashanah also. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's opinion apparently didn't carry, hardly anybody followed that. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Rabbi Akiva, the Yerushalmi says, there were years that the minig in Galil was like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that they always combined together Malchias with the Kedusha Sayyim, and Atta Kodesh and Shemachar Kodesh. But we don't follow that opinion, we follow Rabbi Akiva's opinion. That we combine Malchias with the bracha Kedusha Sayyim, because the theme of Rosh Hashanah is Malchias. So Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Akiva argues with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says you combine Malchias with the bracha Atta Kodesh and Shemachar Kodesh, the Eino Tokeya. You blow shofar after Zechronis and Shofres, but you don't blow shofar after Malchias if Malchias is connected. Malchus is combined together with the Kedusha Sashem. Why is that in a Takeya? Because in the Gimel Rishonis, you're not supposed to have Bakoshes. You're not supposed to have Bakoshes. So you just say the Malchus, the theme of Malchus, that we believe this is what's going to happen. That there is a theme of Malchus, and the day will come that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be accepted as Melech HaOlam. They say all the Psukim, but you don't have... You don't have Tkiya Shofar because you don't have Apakosh at the end. You don't have Bakosh at Tzorach in the Gimel Rishonis. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says you don't blow Shofar after Malchias because he's combining Malchias with Atta Kodesh. So Rabbi Kiva argues with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, if he's not blowing Shofar, why does he say 10 Pasuk? Let him just say 9 Pasukim. Why? What does the 10 Pasuk have to do with the Tkiya Shofar? It's very unclear in the Gemara. Rav Soloveitchik thought that's the reason why, because the role of the 10th Pasuk is the same as the role of the Tkiya Shofar. Tkiya Shofar is to enhance the level of the Tfilah. It should be elevated to the level of Tfilah Sheishim of the Mois. That's why you blow Shofar, Yom Teruah Mitargamin and Yom Yabava. You want to elevate it to the level of a Tfilah of Zaokah. It's a Yom Adin, so you have it. It's an Es Tzara, so you want to have a more enhanced Tfilah. So the same role of the Tkiya Shofar is the role of the 10th Pasuk. The 9th Pasuk can really prove the point. You say 3 Pasukim from Torah Nevi'im Maksub, 9 Pasukim, you already proved the point. The purpose of the role of the 10th Pasuk is to enhance the Bakosha. Rabbi Shalom, you promised us that this is going to take place. So keep your promise, keep your word. So Rabbi Akiva says to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, if you tell me that you don't blow shofar after Malchias because it's combined with Kedushas Hashem, and you don't have bakoshes, so you don't, if there's no bakosh at all, so why do you say the 10th pasuk at all? You should leave out the 10th pasuk. The whole role of the 10th pasuk, it's not really part of, it's not connected with the 9 pasuk. It's separate. That seems to be the pshat in the Gemara. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said. That when you say that, when the Chazan says the 10 psukim in the Chazaras HaShatz, the common practice is he says the 10th pasuk right after the 9th pasuk, and then everybody sings ay 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 ay, and you pause a little bit till he starts. So you thought that more correct would be to pause in between the 9th pasuk and the 10th pasuk, and then combine Sarasu Kazalem Shmaisal Shem Lakenu, Lakenu Kevasim Lechol Kalam Kulabichoidecha. The Rishonim explained, we don't say the 10th, we really should have said the 10th pasuk in the middle of that paragraph. Lechol Kalam Kulabichoidecha. But since Malchus is a guest over here, it's really the Brocha of Kedushas Hayom. The Kaddish is all the Yamazikar. So it's not right that Malchus should take over. So we don't say the pasuk in the concluding paragraph. But you said right before, you shouldn't pause in between the 10th pasuk and the Bakasha. You should pause in between the 9th pasuk and the 10th pasuk. Rav Baruch Epstein has you. Want to raise an issue?
Do we have a makar for 19 sukta, for 19 prophets?
The Gemara Brachas, the Bavli, it says when they changed it, they added V'lam Al-Shinim. So they found the Mokker in the same Perek and Tillim where they found Shem Hashem 18 times. So there's a 19th Taskara also, not Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's another Shem Hashem. So they found the Mokker for that. Yeah, the Gemara works on that. Rav Baruch Epstein has in his autobiography has a lot of interesting things. So he raises an issue that one of the psukim in Zichronis, Zecharas Elin Havois of Chana Barach Mashem. That's not Zichronis. What has it got to do with it? Teref Nasel Nerev Yizkor the Yolim Berisoi, that's Yizkor. The Baruch Shalom will remember the priest that he made with Tzadikim. But Zecharas Elin Havois just means HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Nisim and Havois in such a way that people should recognize that something is going on. They should see what's happening. But what does that have to do with Zechronis? So I remember someone mentioned it to Rav Soloveitchik. He didn't like Rav Baruch Epstein. He knew him personally. So he said, yeah, whatever he says, ridiculous. But then he looked in the Siddur HaGoyim and he saw they don't have that pasuk. So then he recommended we should follow where Baruch Epstein suggested. That you leave in the pasuk, but you shouldn't say the Ne'amar. How do we say it? So he said that there's one pasuk after the other. That Perek and Tillim goes up the alabase. Zecharas and Hosef is Zion, Chanarach Mashem is Ches, Terf Nasalirev is a test, Yiskelion Risa is the Yud. So he said, okay, say the two psukim, leave out the Ne'emar in between, and add on another pasuk from Tehillim that has Zechariah. So he said, he recommended the pasuk that the Gemara says, Chorosham Levnei Adam. The Gemara says that that pasuk can count as a pasuk for Zechronis. Then he pointed out also that the 10th pasuk that we mentioned in Shoifras, Elokeinu Asen Tkabashat Ugod Lechevisenu, and then we say, Shamnasal, bring us to the Beis Hamikdash, Shamnasal Panos Korbanos Chavisenu. So in Shulchan Aruch they quote that there is a machlokes in Rishonim whether that pasuk is acceptable for shofar, because it doesn't say shofar, it says chatzitzus. Shofar and chatzitzus are two different things. Shofar is a natural thing that grows on the animal's head, and the chatzitzus is made from metal. Chatzitzus shel kesef is made from silver. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that alright, that's the Nusach HaTfilah, the accepted opinion of Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber writes, there are those who are Ma'ara, they say that this pasuk doesn't count, and we have a Yishuv on the Minig, so we leave it the way it is. So okay, we leave it the way it is, but you can say more than 10 psukim, no Yisuv Bal Tosef. So he recommended maybe we should add another pasuk after the 9 psukim. Some of the Rishonim say the 10 pasuk should always be after the 9 psukim. Not just in Malchias, because Malchias is a guest by the bracha of Birchas of Kedushas Hayom. By Zechronis and Shofar also, the 10th pasuk should be at the end of the 9th psukim. So that's what he suggested. By Zichronis, there's no question about the last pasuk. The last pasuk in Zichronis is Ochatelaim Rishushan Asher Tesi Osam Yeretz Mitzrayim. So he said maybe you should say it also after the ninth pasuk of Zichronis. Say Vizachatelaim Rishushan. If it's a Rasul Pasul Leimer, then say it again in the middle of the candle. Say it. Zochem Miskar Tovah Vanachla. There's not there if you say extra. Then he said maybe in Shayfris. Because the tenth pasuk is questionable, and the mechaber quotes some shayim are not happy, so maybe you should say another pasuk at the end of the ninth psukim. Ken toger lanchasod bishlamecho. That's the end of the ninth psukim of Shayfus. So then say v'sarosu kasu leimar. Add another pasuk from Chumash to Hashayfus. So what other pasuk has? There aren't too many more psukim about Shayfus. So the Gemara says, Uchuas Melech Bo counts both for Malchias and for Shofras. So he said, say that pasuk, Uchuas Melech Bo, that pasuk. He was makbid all year long. We say Aleinu at the end of the davening. That's a minik. It's not really a din, but on Rosh Hashanah, that was a takana of the Anshei Knesset Aleinu to say Aleinu l'shabdech in the davening. So he thought that more correct is the old nusach Shem Mishtachem Lehel Olverik. This is nusach Svarit. Okay, so it has here Shem Mishtachem Lehel. It's Palam Lehel Yoshia. Apparently that used to be the old nusach, and when the Jews lived in the Christian countries, they would kill them. But they would say that Mishtachem Lehel Olverik Mispalam Lehel Yoshia. So we left it out. But more correct is he should say. So all year long you say Aleinu. It's not Ma'akev. It's only a minik. But Rosh Hashanah is part of the nusach HaTfilah. So he insisted that the Baal Tefillah and the people should really say the correct Nusach of Aleinu L'Shabbech. They should say according to the original Takana. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Bar HaTzavashim, is always something very unusual. He had a lot of hanhogas, a lot of traditions. The Magen Avraham quotes from the Arizal that in Aseres made sure that in between Yishtabach and Baruchu in Shachris, you say Shea Malas Mimamak and Krasich Hashem. So the Magen Avraham has a taina. Why? The Gemara says Asoch Ben Yishtabach Liot Zeror Aberi Hibiyodei. You're not allowed to talk in between. So why do you say Shea Malas? So the Dogam Levava has the Nadi Bihud has the Oris Pintar on the side of the page. It's called Dogam Levava. And the big Shulchan Aruch says the Dogam Levava says he doesn't understand the Magen Avraham's taina. The Rambam writes that when you finish Yishtabach, many kehillas they have a practice that they recite Oz Yosher. So you say Nishgefelach. So you say if you can say Oz Yosher in between Yishtabach and Yotzeror. So what's so bad about saying Shem Alas Mimamakim? So in the Sefer Emek Brocha is a Sefer written by someone who lived through the war. He learned by Rav Dov of Soloveitch. He lived in Brisk. And he learned Paradolvala longer than most other people. And then he was close with him after the war in Eretz Yisrael.
Rabbi Pomeranchik,
right. So he says, no, there's a big difference between Oz Yoshim and Shira Malas. Oz Yoshim is a Shebach, it is a Psukhi de Zimra. It's not Shiri David Abdecha. In Baruch Shammai, you say Shiri David Abdecha, not Rechon Shabecha, and Fahercha. So it sounds like we're going to say Psukim from Tehillim. So Oz Yoshim is from Chumash. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. Why didn't the Rambam have Oz Yosher in the middle of Pesukah de Zimra? Why does he have it after Yishtabach? Because in between Baruch Shem and Yishtabach is supposed to be only Shirei Gavir Avdecha. So he didn't have it in the middle. But we have it in the middle. It's also Pesukah de Zimra. So if you say it after Yishtabach, that's like a Hemshech of Pesukah de Zimra. But Shira Malas Mimamakim is a Trina. That's not a Shebach. That's not Pesukah de Zimra. That's why the Magen Avraham had a problem. So Rav Moshe also, so really it's Nusach Ari and Nusach Sfarad picked it up in Arizal. Nusach Ashkenaz was that they never said Shira Malas because the Magen Avraham stated that it's a Hefsek. So they wrote there, Rav Moshe Feinstein's practice was that he would say Shira Malas after Chazor HaSashatz, after the Kaddish Tiskabel, after the Shmoneser. He would say Shira Malas, but it's not really right to say it over here. Some had the practice that they would say they felt that it's a hefsek to say Shira Malas over here, so they introduced Shira Malas in the middle of Pesukah de Zimra. So according to the Emek Brocha, that makes it a bigger problem. What do you mean in the middle of Pesukah de Zimra? It's not Pesukah de Zimra, it's not Shavach, it's a Bakasha. It doesn't belong in the middle of Pesukah de Zimra. That's why it doesn't belong after Yishtam Achida. Beautiful Minhagim. Everyone should be blessed with that. See you after the time. Good yard. Thank you. Amen. Mazel tov again.
Many years ago, I think at one of the Tshuva Drashas, the Rav said that the minig of giving out Shana Teva cards is an old minig. He said people think it's an American thing. So I, over the years, I developed my own thing. I give out honey to people.
Honey?
So, yeah, this is honey.
Thank you very
straw.
Much.
You should have given out honey. Okay.
I give you the report before I got it.
Amen. Thank you very much. Amen. Thank you.